السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس، الصحة والفراغ. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تزال قدم ابن آدم حتى يسأل عن خمس: عن عمره فيما أفنى، وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه، وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه، وماذا عمل فيما علم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved elders and brothers, all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, peace and salutations be upon our master Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the audience that we are addressing, perhaps, you know, sometimes we need to reflect, because we're talking at the time when maybe 10%, 20%, 30% of the audience is sitting, and the real target audience for some of the talks, they come in when the talk is over. But nevertheless, we're all in need of reminder. Allah says in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, because reminder is beneficial for all of us. So it's not a talk like a bayan I'm going to give, because alhamdulillah, this musalla is blessed with many, many great ulama that come here. But my purpose of discussion today will just be a brief a reminder and a muzakara, what is important for me and important for all of us, inshallah. And perhaps we can take it back home to our family members, especially targeting the younger audience, and those of us who have nephews, maybe children, brothers, and inshallah some of us even applicable directly to us as well. Again, the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He allowed us to reach, you know, if you never realize, today is the 30th of November. It's the last day of the month. November is finished. 2018 has one more month, and that is the month of December. It takes us to the end of 2018, and the year is coming to an end. And it's important at these junctures to remind ourselves. And I think sometimes we're just going through our motions of life that we don't take out conscious time to reflect and to ponder on perhaps the past, what has happened so far in my life, what is happening around me currently, and what's going to happen to me going forward. What plans, what adjustments, what routines am I going to change in my life? And more especially when we're going now into December. And I think many homes now, even businesses, schools, universities, it's going to have the sort of a mindset of, let's take it easy now. I think businesses will step it up, because it's a busy time. It's a time to make money this time of the year. Generally, it's a Christmas time. It's business time. And so, like, there's different types of activities taking place. At certain places, closing down. Other places, building up the momentum. But I think the important thing is to remind ourselves about this December period. And I'm going to share a certain type of guidelines, broad principles, which I hope you can apply it in each of your contexts. So you may be in your office, or maybe in your surgery, or you're just a school kid, or even you're in workplace. But inshallah, some of these principles we can apply, especially in the context of us going now into December. I mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I think before that, the surah that I recited is a very important surah. It's a very short surah, and I think all of us know the surah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on time to remind us about the value of time. Wal asr, Allah takes an oath on time, by time. And He says that all mankind, everyone is at loss. You and I, everybody is loser. Innal insana lafi khusr. Everybody is a loser, lost. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes exclusions. Okay, put everybody in one box, you are all lost. If you want to come out of that category of being lost, then you need to have these four qualities. And then Allah brings and explains those four qualities. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except if you have iman. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and then you couple that with having good deeds in your life, so you have iman and amal salihah, and then وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and then you encourage, motivate one another, advise one another, counsel one another on patience, and counseling and advising one another, تَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, with haq, with patience and truth. So this is the crux of the surah. I translated in under a minute. By time, man is at loss, except those of us, or those people, we make dua, Allah makes us from those people who have iman who couple that iman with amal salihah, and then they counsel and advise one another with patience and with truth. And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the oath on time is obviously because time is valuable. Maybe in some of our circles we say time is money. So time is valuable, we understand the value of time. And then in the hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the ni'matan, two bounties of Allah. We have countless bounties. We cannot even list them, as Allah says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. You try and count the bounties of Allah, you will not be able to enumerate it. You will not be able to list it. So many there. But from all those bounties, Allah is singled out. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rather has singled out, and he said two bounties specifically. Specific mention. Two bounties, مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Many people are living in a deception with regards to this. When you are deceived, it means you are not realizing the real value of it. Somebody has deceived you, he has cheated. He lied to you, he deceived you. So many of us, and this is the words of the hadith, we are living in a deception with regards to these two bounties. And then the Prophet ﷺ explained, what are these two bounties? What are these two ni'mats that many people are deceived with regards to them? And number one, he says, as-sihah, is your health. Is the health that we have, we are taking it so much for granted, and we assume that we have this health, we are entitled to it, and we are not valuing the good health that we have. And the second thing he says, al-faragh. Faragh, the time that we have. Sometimes it's translated as free time, but the opportunities in life that we have. So these two things, the health that a person has, we are deceived. It means we are not taking benefit of the opportunities whilst we have good health to maximize in that good health. We are using it in the incorrect avenues. And then a time comes in your life where you no more have that health, and then you regret the opportunities that you had. You used it in the wrong things. Now you don't have the health, you don't have the strength anymore. You cannot do things that you could have done when you had the health. And the time, perhaps you have opportunities in your week, in your day, where you have free time. But we are deceived with regards to it, we are using it incorrectly. And then a time comes when you don't have time, and then you think, if only I had time. So we are living in deception. But Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reminding us with regards to these two bounties, and I'm saying coupling it this month of December especially. How are we going to utilize the health that we have and the time that we have? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that in a hadith, he says that a person on the day of Qiyamah will not be able to take one step. You won't be able to move forward, you'll be stuck. Unless and until you answer five questions. Again, you could have asked you a million questions. But from those so many different things that could have been asked, these five things have been singled out. Because these are critical, crucial, important things. And these are questions we should also be asking ourselves every day. About how are we using these things. Because on the day of Qiyamah, Allah is going to ask us about these five things. So we need to think, what answer am I going to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, when He's going to ask me? If I can't have an answer now, how am I going to answer on that day? So the five things He says, an umrihi fima afna. Allah is going to ask you about the life that He had given you. Allah has given you life, and whilst you have it, what did you do with that life? Do we have a satisfactory answer to that question? And from that life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has singled out, He said, on shababihi fima abla, and your youth, that young age of yours that you had with you, how did you squander and use it? How did you waste it? Or how did you abuse it or use it? Use it in a useful way or you abused it? And shababi fima abla, specifically about your youth. As I said, these times are opportunities for us to reflect. Many of us have already passed that youth now, shabab, we are gone. We're not going to get back to that shabab age, youngster. We are already gone now. Old, we are going to the sheikh part. You know, shabab is a young boy, and as you get older, you call him a sheikh. So many of us are shuyukh now. We are no more shabab. So, what are we going to do now? You see, Maulana is talking about something that's not applicable to me. And as I said, it's important for us to remind ourselves, the past is gone, we have to make tawbah, ask Allah to forgive us. But definitely we have opportunities within the circles with which we interact. Perhaps we've got grandchildren, perhaps we've got nephews, siblings. We have a great role. Let us guide them in a way and say that we shouldn't be learning. You should learn from the mistakes I have made. No, a person should not get bitten from the same hole twice. So perhaps through the time that you have experienced in your shabab, you can advise the shabab around you that on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah is going to ask me about my shabab, about my youth. How did I use my youth? And this is the type of answers I'm going to give. Perhaps some of it, mashallah, many of us sitting here are proud of. And others are not really proud, embarrassing situations. So my youngster of today, think about it. What answer are we going to give? And let us not waste that opportunity that we have. And the third question, he says, about the wealth that we have. وَأَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ. This month of December, as I said, is a very crucial month for businesses. And sometimes because of greed, we might overstep certain boundaries that Allah has created for us. So Allah is going to ask you, remind ourselves about this question. مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ. From how did you earn that money? Where did you get that money from? And others also, mashallah, it's December, and you think you worked hard the whole year, so it's your money. You worked very hard, so I will spend it how I want. And I will use it and squander it in the way that is pleasing to me. So you don't tell me what to do. No Maulana, no Deen, nobody must tell me anything. I do what I want. So I will go to such places and spend the money because I worked hard for it. I strived and I toiled from early to late, whole year, not so that you must tell me what to do with my money. And this is a mentality that many people have. So we should think about it. On the day of Qiyamah, the wealth that you have has come from Allah. So Allah will ask you how you earn that money and how you spend that money. How are we going to be spending our wealth in this month of December? In the name of holidays, and in the name of maybe pleasing your families, sometimes we are not actually doing them a favor, we are doing them a disservice. In the name of maybe relaxation, we are going to such places and using our money and such avenues that is earning the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So rather than bringing blessings and peace, because holidays you're supposed to be getting a contentment, peace, satisfaction, rest, that was holidays all about. But if you take that money that Allah had given you and say, no, because it's my money, I will use it how I want, and take your family to such destinations, such places, and squander the wealth of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then actually you are bringing more misery. So the holidays have not been a source of comfort for you. It has become a source of spiritual wrecking an individual's life. So the wealth that we have, think about it. How are we going to use it? Yes, the holidays that we have is a bounty of Allah again. He's giving you that time, the opportunities. Many of us will have more time than others at our disposal. But does that mean now we must transgress the boundaries and the limits set to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and use the same wealth that Allah has given us in avenues that Allah doesn't want us to use it? So be very selective, be very careful, and we are responsible. And I'm addressing perhaps the audience in front of me now. If we are the providers, we cannot justify pacifying and making my son happy or my daughter happy and my wife happy. Hence, I went to X destination and Y destination. We know those destinations or those places where the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being openly violated. This flagrant disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immorality, and whatever gambling is taking place, like that, the vices, those are places we stay away from. We shouldn't, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in some narrations, he says, man kathara sawada qawmin, man kathara sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum. You cannot say, I was just a spectator, I was an observer, and just I just went there. He says that the person who increased the number of a people, man kathara, you increasing the number of a people, then you must count yourself to be amongst them. Man kathara sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum. That people who will increase, so you went to the place where the commands of Allah have been broken, even though you're an observer, you increase the number, so you'll be counted as being amongst them. Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. Famous hadith of the Prophet that whoever resembles, one is you doing the action. Here the hadith tells us, even if you're not doing it, you're resembling those people. مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. You're resembling them, then you can count yourself to be amongst them as well. So the wealth that we have, and who Allah has bestowed with wealth, let us be extremely careful, selective, and how, and choose how we're going to use the wealth of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. If you're traveling out of town, salah should not be a negotiable thing. Okay, if you want to read, you're going to read. No, salah is non-negotiable. The destination that we're choosing to go to, whether it's abroad, local, overseas, wherever we are going, let us enjoy the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that we don't ever displease Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Today you have, alhamdulillah, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by using it in a way that is pleasing Allah. Lest Allah forbid a day comes when you don't have. And then you'll think that the time that you have, Allah has given you, how you squandered and wasted the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There can never be justification for wastage. In Allah mentions two things in the Quran. Inna Allah la yuhibbul musrifin. Allah does not love those that make israf. Inna Allah la yuhibbul musrifin. And inna al-mubadhirin kanu ikhwana al-shayateen. Those who squander, they are the brothers of shaitan. The ulama explain the distinction between the two is israf. Is perhaps a person is having a permissible type of function or something, but he is wasting the bounties of Allah Ta'ala. That is israf. That is also not valid. You're having a walima, an example. So in the name of a walima, now you must go and waste the bounties of Allah Ta'ala, have such functions and elaborate functions that you will break the commands of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. No justification. Allah does not love that. Have a function, have a walima, mashallah, sunnah, but don't justify your wastage in the name of deen, of a walima, or whatever. I'm just giving an example. Then the worst scenario is in the mubadhirin, kanu ikhwan ash-shayateen, a person who is making tabdhir, he's taking the wealth that Allah has given him, and he is wasting it in impermissible. You're going gambling, or you're going to a casino, whatever, that is totally impermissible. Like that also, we're wasting the wealth of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In other things, you have to eat, for example, you want to eat some food. Now think about it, if a family of four, five has to go out to eat, how much of money are they not wasting? Or how much money are they spending? Sometimes one small fast food meal, 100 rand, 200 rand, and if five people are going, 1,000 rand, 1,500 rand is spent on a meal. When there are people who are hungry, and people who don't even have bread, or don't even have water to drink, is there any way we can justify the amount that we have gone out to eat and the amount of money that is being squandered? Innal mubadhirin. We need to remind ourselves, Allah is going to ask us the wealth that we have. How did you spend it? Like that, we can continue giving examples, but remind ourselves, especially in this month of December, how did we spend our youth? How did you spend your life? How did you earn your money? How did you spend your money? Mada amila fima alima. Mashallah, every Friday we're hearing bayans, and we're hearing talks, and we read books. From small, we know many things as Muslims, that what we are supposed to be doing, and what we are not supposed to be doing. But there's a problem with regards to practicing. We know Islam, but unfortunately we are not living Islam. We know many aspects of our deen, but the reality on the ground is we far from practicing on deen. That is why the question will be asked, how much ma'adha amila fi ma'alima? How much of amal, how much of practice there was on what did you know? You know, and we know for a fact certain things are allowed as a Muslim. And so many things are not allowed. How come we are still contradicting it and justifying it? Maybe we say, no, my iman is weak, or whatever justification we have. But the question is, if you know you are sick, you know you go to the doctor, give you a prescription, and you don't take the medication, and you think you're going to get better? The ulama are saying the similar thing. With regards to deen, we say, no, iman is weak. It's not going to get any stronger if you don't make concerted effort to change. We have to make concerted effort. We are not saying as Muslims we should have a holiday which is dry and no fun is allowed. Alhamdulillah, bounties of Allah are countless. We should enjoy the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But always remember, tilka hududullahi fala ta'taduha. Allah mentions in the Quran that these are the boundaries of Allah. These are the limitations and parameters within which we work. Let us not be selective. And when it suits us, alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim, I do this, and in a masjid I will read my salah, and in certain context somebody dies, you behave and think yourself as a Muslim. In other scenarios, we say, well, I'll do what I want, I'm free, and I behave as I wish. So these are the boundaries of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and 24 hours, 7 days, 365 days of the year, we should be learning and practicing according to the dictates and demands of Allah. Then only the barakah, then only the blessings, then only we get the spirituality and the nur of iman in our lives. So we need to make sure, especially in this month of December, to be cognizant and take consideration of this hadith, the ayah of the Quran, wal asr. Then I spoke over the hadith, ni'matani maghbunun fima kathirun minan nas, the two bounties that people are deceived with regards to it. And then I mentioned the five questions that remind ourselves every day in December. How one answers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how one answers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to this, before you make choices about what you're going to be doing on these days. And alhamdulillah, we as parents also have to be very proactive. In this day of age and of technology, I was just checking something just now. There's a game, I've given an example, just as an example. There's a game that the youth are playing nowadays. It was launched last year. Only last year, in a matter of 1 year, it has over 100 million, over 100 million users. That game has reached such a height that it can allow over 5 million concurrent users. In other words, throughout the world, you go online, you play this game, 5 million people are concurrently on this game. And what is happening is many of our youths, if you ask them about this game, they'll tell you they spend hours every night on this. And again, you as the person at home, provided that unlimited Wi-Fi, and then we say, okay, what happened to my child? What happened to my son? Why is he becoming rebellious? Where is his respect? We have provided the opportunities for them to become disrespectful. And then we ask why they become disrespectful. We have provided them with the tools that will lead to their doom and destruction. And then you'll ask, how come they are so badly behaved? How come they are gone the wrong direction? Yes, there's a place. Technology is very, very beneficial. But it also got its harms. If you are not able to manage it, this is perhaps a principle we can apply. If you do not have the capacity to control, then think about it. If you want to give your son a gun or a knife, if he does not know, neither have you trained him on how it should be used, you won't give it to him. Because he perhaps shoot you or shoot himself. But once you are trained, and he is trained, then you'll bring the gun, you'll use it, or the knife, you'll use it. Very similar way, the technology. If you are not aware of what's happening, and you're giving your son that cell phone, or your daughter that cell phone, I am telling you, it's not like a fairy tale I'm making up, fictitious thing, stories. They will do such things under your nose, you wouldn't know. With the technology, you will think, well, you are going through their messages, well, they'll hide everything, and the apps will all be hidden, and they'll be doing such things under your nose in your bedroom, and you're using your phone also, because you don't know what is happening. So if you are not aware, you're not clued up, you're not jacked up with regards to it, and neither have you trained your son or your daughter or your family with regards to correct usage of it, then definitely it is open to abuse. In this day of holidays, we need to create alternatives. An example, go to the beach, take a walk at the beach. When last did you take a nice walk and a stroll with your son or your daughter, whoever, in a quiet portion where it is within the parameters of Sharia, we're not violating any law, go and take a nice walk. Go for a picnic somewhere, go to a park. When last did you sit down with your son and have a nice discussion and a talk about something? So these are options that we have in the holidays. As much as it sounds like, you know, how can this happen now? My son is 11, 12, he got his own mind, he does his own thing. But did we ever think of a solution, alternative, where we pacified ourselves and they're happy also by sitting at home in front of those screens and passing away and whiling away the times with so many, you know, the world has become so vast. We don't have time to go into the details of how things have become so open for them. So you need to create that alternative for them. You know, for example, now in the holidays, many of us would have not visited their family, an aunt, a granny. Yes, some of us would not have even seen your own brother for a couple of months. You're so busy. Take this month of holiday and say, okay, sit down and say, I've got 10 aunties, 10 uncles, 10 brothers, whatever it is. I haven't seen them for the last 6 months. Inshallah, in the next 3 weeks of the holidays, I will make it a point of taking my son and my daughter and my wife to go and see that old auntie, to go and see that brother of mine, to go see that nephew of mine, that cousin of mine. And if you're traveling out of town, make it a point. Not just go a place to visit, see their tourist attractions and come back home. Especially if you have relatives there, you have to make it a point. Think of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, من وصلني وصله الله, that when I go and join ties and mend my relationships with somebody, then actually I'm mending and joining ties with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. ومن قطعني قطعه الله, when I'm cutting off and severing relationships with somebody, then I'm cutting off from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this month of December, use it productively. You have to be creative and think of alternatives and ways. I might sound like, hey, okay, now I'm a little bit of an old school or something, sounds a bit boring, but you have to create these options and these alternatives, lest otherwise what is going to happen, the whole holidays is going to pass. You will also have a nice time. You'll think you had a nice time. You'll go to such venues, such destinations. You'll earn the anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. You'll come back with no barakah whatsoever. The quarrels and the problems that you'll have will not come down. It'll actually become more greater. Create, you know, this morning Maulana is mentioning the routine that we have. It needs to be very, very, how will I say, very, very seriously reconsidered. In holidays, what will happen? You sleep, go late at night to sleep, and you'll pass Fajr Salah without waking up for Fajr Salah, and wake up 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, have a nice breakfast, you think, and the rest of the day is gone. There's no barakah in such a day. Rather, change the routine for yourselves as well as for your children. Early to bed, early to rise makes one healthy, wealthy, and wise. So we go to bed early, inshallah we wake up early for Fajr Salah. What better way? Starting the day with Fajr. After Fajr, making our tilawat of Quran, making our dhikr, reading our ishraq, starting of doing so much of things. You see, it's still 8 o'clock in the morning. I still got so much of time. You can do so much of things. Then you come to Zuhar, bi qailula. And then you got still so much, 5 hours still till Maghrib, which is at 7 o'clock. But we need to change the way that we program our day. This habit of sleeping late, waking up late, is actually remove the barakah. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has promised, he says that the fi bukuriha al khair al barakah, in the morning part is barakah. In the morning part, which is after Fajr, if you're sleeping, you missed all the barakah opportunities. And just to close, that going to sleep early will make you early to bed, early to rise makes you healthy, wealthy, and wise. So the opposite will be now, if you're going to sleep late and you're waking up late, then what's going to be happening? You're not going to be healthy, you'll be sick. Because if you went to sleep early, you wake up early, you'll be healthy. So if you're sleeping late, waking up late, then you're unhealthy. Wealthy, if you want wealth, you're going to start your day early. You sleep early, you wake up early, inshallah, Allah will give barakah on your wealth. So then, you're causing problem for your wealth also if you have this habit. And the third thing, if you want to be wise, then this is what you do to do. So you can understand what's the opposite of sleeping late and waking up late. Opposite of wise is what will get the end result. Right? Fools, ulus, right? Badly behaved. Whatever is the opposite of wise. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever I have said, may He give me the ability of practicing and putting into understanding, practicing and sharing with others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this December one full of barakah for our business people, mashallah, and those of us who are traveling out. May we not forget all the great sunnats of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And remember, wherever you are, inshallah, we will behave as Muslims, we will dress up as Muslims, we will conduct ourselves in a way that is not going to be an embarrassment to us on the day of Qiyamah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.